I get the awesome privilege of teaching a very unpopular topic. If you talk to society or governments of some countries, this is a very unpopular topic. Yet here we're going to look not at governments, not at experiences, not at what people think or what people say. We want to just consider what the scriptures say. And so as far as I'm concerned, my job tonight is to show you what the scriptures say. So is that all right with you? Well, I'm glad, because that is the reason we're here, right? To look at what God's word has to say. Then you can make up your own mind. Once you have God's word, the choice that you have is either to believe it or not to believe it. That's the choice you have. If it is God's word, that's your choice. You have to make up your own mind if you want to believe God's word or not. I have to do the same thing. On this topic, it seems to me that everyone focuses on the what? The rod. The rod, the what, not the why. And I think what the scriptures are going to show us is what's important about this thing we call the rod of correction is the why. The what is somewhat less significant. The term rod of correction is only used once in the Bible. A lot of people wish it wasn't even there. But let's go to Proverbs chapter 22. We'll be mostly spending this time in Proverbs. This idea is God's. This is God's word that we're talking about here, right? Now, you know, other authors didn't really have any input here. This was God who wrote this thing, isn't it? God told holy men of God, they wrote as they were given by inspiration of God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Okay, so this idea that we're talking about, this concept, is God's concept, okay? Now, Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. This is the verse that is going to be the one we look at the most tonight. And I kind of want to take this apart for you and show you some of these wonderful words that are used in this verse. The first word in here is the word foolishness. And the Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. I read it right, right? Yeah. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Okay, that's what it says. I want to give you a couple of translations for this word foolishness. And by the way, you can do everything that I'm showing you tonight, you could easily do yourself. Just go to God's word with a concordance. Doesn't even have to be a good concordance, as they say. You just look up these words, and you go through, and you find the scriptures that God says about it. These are not hard terms to understand. Foolishness. One of the translations says that foolishness is obstinate in that on which he has set his heart, not to be moved by reason or counsel. Okay? We would call that stubbornness, maybe, is another term for that. The operative word here, I think, is counsel. Not to be moved by reason or counsel. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24, please. It's right in the neighborhood. Verse 9. Now we're going to look a little bit at this word foolishness. Verse 9. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. It says, the thought of foolishness is sin. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 26, please. Verse 1. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Okay. Other than the weather patterns we've been having lately, snow in summer is a very rare occurrence in the Northern Hemisphere. Right? It is. It's not a normal thing, snow in summer. And rain in harvest in the lands of the Bible also was an unusual occurrence. So what this verse says here is that honor is not seemly for a fool, just as it doesn't make sense for it to snow in the summer and for it to rain at harvest time. Honor in a fool is a rare occurrence. And this word fool is the same word that is translated to the word foolishness that we read in Proverbs 22:15. Verse 2. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Wow. Proverbs is sure wonderful, isn't it? God just doesn't mince any words in Proverbs. It's a great book. A whip for the horse. That's what it says, a whip for the horse. What is a whip for? You hit the horse. Why do you hit the horse? What? Why did you say, Sukina? Samantha? To comply, to get it to comply. What did you say, Will? To get their attention. Is it to punish the horse?
No.
No, serious, is it? No. This is very important here.
No.
No, the whip is for what? To get the horse to do what you want it to do, right? Okay, now let's look at the next one. A bridle for the ass. We don't do much with asses around here, I guess, but not a word out of anybody. A bridle for the ass. Okay, why do they, you know what the bridle is, right? Right, that whole deal there. Yeah. Okay, why do you put that thing in there? Is it punishment? Is it to make the ass feel bad? Is it for pain? No, what's the reason? You want to guide this ass to go in the direction that you want it to go, right? Isn't that what it's for? Let me give you another definition of the word foolishness or fool. One who acts without counsel and whose will is too hard for his understanding. It's kind of neat, huh? One who acts without counsel and whose will is too hard for his understanding. He hath no reason for what he doth. He hath no reason for what he doth, we would say what he does, but because he hath a mind to do it. That's another translation for this word. No reason for what he does, but just because that's what's in his mind. I kind of think of a horse or an ass, you know? They just get this idea, I want to go this way, I want to go this way. And you have to remind them and then tell them which way you want them to go. This is really a tremendous verse. It's really, the purpose is to shake them from their obstinate pattern, their obstinate thinking pattern, kind of like we would say to wake them up, and to show them the instruction that you want them to have. That's what really is the purpose of the bridle and the purpose of the whip. Now, we have no trouble with that, I think. Does anybody have trouble with that?
No.
Is it cruelty to animals to do that? Okay, we're not that far in our society yet, are we? That's not cruelty to animals, right? Okay, so when it comes to the thing that this is comparing it to here in Proverbs 22, why should we have so much trouble with that? Well, I don't know. Let's continue on here. Did we read verse 4? No, we didn't. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest thou be wise in his own conceit. Lest he be wise in his own conceit. This is kind of a cool thing. In verse 4, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like to him. If you don't answer according to his folly, he'll think that he's as wise as you are. If you don't answer him. And then the next verse, if you do answer him according to his folly, he'll think that you're as much of a fool as he is. That's what this verse is all about. There is no reasoning with a fool. That's the point here. There's no reasoning with a fool. Just like that definition that we read. The definition said that against counsel, God bless you, against counsel, whatever the counsel is, he goes in his own direction because it's in his mind to do it. Obstinate, we said, against counsel. Look at verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Yowza. I'll give you another translation of this. I think E.W. Bullinger did a nice job with this. He said, don't give a fool business to transact, for it will render you helpless. Do you give a fool business to transact? They're going to mess it up, right? Because this is what's going to happen. Just like the horse and just like the ass, they get started on this task that you give them to do, and then they're thinking over here. They're distracted. They have a thinking of their mind goes off to the side. Are they concentrating on the task that you gave them to do? No. So the Bible says here, well, don't give them any business to transact. You're the one that's going to end up in trouble. Okay, let's look at the word rod. The word rod used in this verse, by the way, before we get to that, most people, what they think of when we talk about the rod of correction is this. This is the rod of correction. Some people think that you have to use one of these things. It's supposed to be wooden, spoon, not a fork, and it should be a certain size, and we even get down to, you better use that, you're not supposed to use other things. Well, I want to show you something in God's Word. This is probably very effective as a rod of correction, but you don't have to go and buy a spoon in order to correct your children. The definition of the word rod is a stick for writing, walking, ruling. It's a rod, a scepter, a staff. So, seems to me the point is not the instrument itself, but why we use it when we read it in these verses. Whether it's a little stick or whether it's a spoon or whatever it is, your hand, whatever it is, the point is not the instrument itself. And I think this is where we've often gotten off base. We concentrate on the instrument rather than on the purpose for using it. The goal is the next word. Let's go back to Proverbs 22, please. Proverbs 22, verse 15, it said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I didn't mention to you about the word bound. The word bound means to tie up. It's kind of a neat thing, you know, bound, the same way that we think of it today. Bound, to tie up, to entwine. That's the word bound. So it says this foolishness is tied up in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I think the way most people consider this verse, now this is my opinion, okay, I'd like to make that very clear, is that they don't bother with the words of correction when they think of this verse. But rather, read it, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod shall drive it far from him. Well, we've kind of missed a very important concept here, which seems to be the point of this verse of correction. And let's look at this word correction. Please go to Proverbs chapter 3. If you just whipped a horse, you walked by and whipped the horse, what good is it going to do? If you just pulled on the bridle on an ass, what good is it going to do? Well, the same thing if you just whack somebody with some instrument, what good is it going to do? The point is that we want correction. Correction is instruction. It's warning. It's chastening. That's another way it's translated in the Bible. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. Again, this is not my opinion. This is God's word that we're reading here. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. That's kind of cool. It says that the Lord chastens in this verse. That's what it says, right? The chastening of the Lord, just like the rod of correction. Neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Now, if we believe this verse, then we would probably use the rod of correction. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. God corrects. God is our father. God is our example. The theme verse of this advance tells us that. And here we see that God corrects. And it says, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. We're going to read about sons that don't get delighted in by their fathers because they don't get instruction or they refuse the instruction. Verse 13, happy, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Let's go to chapter 13, please. Proverbs 13. So far, it's been God's word we're reading, right? Okay, these are God's ideas. Somebody didn't come along, some horrible, vicious person, and think up these ideas. God, in his wonderful love and wisdom, gave us these concepts. Chapter 13, verse 18. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction, but he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. Remember we read that verse about honor in a fool? It was pretty scarce, wasn't it? Just like the snow in the summertime. Well, here it says the opposite. He that regardeth reproof, and this is that word for instruction, shall be honored. What would we want for our children? Look at verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. I really don't want to be in that situation. This is God's word, right? He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That's God's word. Sure is wonderful. Okay, back to Proverbs 22, please. You know, it always comes down to whether we want to believe God's word or not. With every concept that God brings forth in his word, that's simply the decision that we have to make. Do I believe it or not? When God's word is clear, that's it. Sometimes we have to do some work to make sure we understand what God says. And we've had some wonderful classes and things that show us on ways that we can know exactly what God's word says, keys to understand what God's word says. But once we have it, that's it. That's our choice. Do I want to believe it or don't I? That's pretty simple. Okay, 22 verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That's the next part of this verse. Drive it far from him. These words, drive it far from him, are really one word in the Hebrew, and it's a pretty simple meaning. It means to remove far away. Remove far away. It makes sense, drive it far from him. Or a good way off. So the purpose of the rod of correction is to drive a ways off foolishness. And instead, to give correction. It's a pretty simple verse when you think of it. You break it apart and look at the components. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Okay, I didn't go here yet, but We talked about a horse and we talked about an ass. The Bible here is saying specifically that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, not just an ass or a horse, a child. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, inextricably bound, tied up, entwined in the heart of a child. That's what God's word says here. How do you get that foolishness out? And by the way, is that evil in itself? No. Children are just go by what they learn. They're run by their emotions. Does anybody disagree with that?
No.
They think of it, it comes into their mind, and they do it, right? Just like the definition of that verse for fool that we read. Why are they like that? They're just kids. They're just young. And then we give them correction, and it drives far from them that foolishness. That foolishness that will lead them to folly. Well, that is folly. That will lead them to poverty, as the word of God said. We want to drive it far from them and instead allow them to walk with honor. Proverbs 19, please. Verse 18. This is great. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Well, here God helps us as parents on how to deal with this situation. He says two things here. Chasten thy son while there is hope, because while this child is a child is the time to give him the chastening, the instruction. And as you drive far from him the foolishness, when he's old, he doesn't become a fool. And if you ever want to read in Proverbs, there's three words that are specifically used for fool in Proverbs with all different kinds of characteristics for fools. And we don't want our children to grow up to be fools. In order to do that, we chasten our children and we do it out of love, as we read in Proverbs. And here it says, don't let your soul spare for his crying. Kids cry, right? So what? They just cry. You know, my sister-in-law, when she was pregnant, she used to cry at commercials. You know, a Kellogg's commercial would be on. And she'd go, oh, it's so beautiful. She would start crying. Crying doesn't mean anything. Don't get all upset if a child cries. It doesn't mean he's going to die. Here it says, don't spare for his crying. Do what you're supposed to do, what the word of God tells you to do. So people cry. Kids cry. So what? Jeremiah chapter 7. Figured I had to get a verse out of Proverbs somewhere, so this is it. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 25. Jeremiah 7, 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto the day I have even sent unto you all my servants and prophets, daily rising up early and sending them, yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore, thou shalt speak all these words unto them. This is what God told Jeremiah. But they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. Verse 28. But thou shalt say unto them, this is the nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction. Truth is perished and is cut off from their mouth. This is a foolish nation that did not listen to the correction of God, and we're going to pay the consequences. Proverbs chapter 1, please. The father who loves his son will chasten him. It's our jobs as parents. It is not the job of the government. It's not the job of the schools. It is not the job of the daycare centers to train our children. How in the world can they? They don't know God's word. It's our job as parents to train our children, to instruct them. Sometimes that requires getting their attention. And whatever form that takes to get their attention, that's all that we're talking about. Get their attention, and then you can give them the instruction. We want to give them the right instruction, but we first need their attention. Okay, we said Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And here's what it will do. For they shall be an ornament of grace upon thy head and chains about thy neck. It's like jewelry. Isn't that great? That's like honor. You know how a husband buys a piece of jewelry for his wife and she puts it on and he just looks at it and goes, oh, she looks so beautiful in that little thing. You know, and jewelry I'm talking about. And it's like an honor to him, you know. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 6 to close. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp. I'll wait till you get there, I'm sorry. Proverbs 6, 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's what we want for our children, isn't it? For our children to grow up with the instruction, with the correction from God's word. Just as Dorsey told us this afternoon about how we get that instruction from God's word and we give that instruction to our children and we do it completely by what God's word says. How could we go wrong doing it by what God's word says? Forget those guys that have all these ideas writing the books. Forget all the guys that have all these ideas with all this psychological stuff. How can we go wrong if we go by God's word? If we can, then we are in the wrong business here. If we say we're going to believe God's word, we either believe it or we don't. And it's either all God's word or none of it's God's word. So why don't we look at what God's word says and then make our decision. What's the decision we make? Do I want to believe it or not? That's my job. That's it. That's the choice I have. How wonderful it is that it says here that it's the instruction from God that we get, that instruction for us, that's the way of life. That's what we offer our children when we give them correction. Thanks, Father, for your wonderful word and the great privilege it is for us to understand it. And now that we understand it, Father, that we can also impart to our children that great instruction, that we can love them so tenderly to want to give them your word, that we will do what it says in your word to get that word into them. Thank you for the privilege of sharing the word tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. God bless you.